kia koe, Olivia. Thank you so very much for joining us this afternoon here on Irirangi Wātea. Tēnā koe.
Oh, tēnā koe, Claudette. Ngā mihi ki te reo irirangi o Wātea. Tuku mihi ki a koutou, tuku mihi nui ki te taringa mai o ngā koutou tangata, nau mai ki roto tēnei aora. Tēnā koutou katoa.
Thank you very much for talking to us about this kaupapa. It is a really old one here, tino kaupapa tawhito. Over 80 years now, the sand mining along your whenua, along your takutai moana pākiri and mangawhai, sand dredging. It's been going on since just after the Second World War. And I know that your father, Leili Haddon, had been working tirelessly for this as well, against this kaupapa, around this kaupapa during his time as well too. Look, I just want an update. Is there still a resource consent? I know that in 2006 an extended 14 years was given to the company to continue mining sands. Where are we up to with this?
Okay, so we have two operators in the area, or two license holders. One is Kaipara Limited and the other is McCullum Brothers. So interesting movements have occurred most recently with Kaipara Limited having 3 years prior to their consent expiring, reapplied for another 20 years for 2 million cubic metres in the far shore. So the far shore are the depths of from 25 metres to up to 40 metres of water. And halfway through this process, we've been, as Te Whanau o Pākiri and our wider community, been submitting strongly against this activity in Aorohe Moana. And they have since pulled out of their application and handed over that application for the next 20 years to McCullum Brothers, who also have an expired and elapsed consent that you're talking about that started in 2016 for extended 15 years in the near shore. So in waters from 5 metres to 25 metres depth. And this is the current active zone that we know of that is controls the replenishment of on the beach and the coastal processes around sand movement back and forth to replenish our beachfront. So they have waited until Kaipara have put their application in and then have just lodged a consent to council, which will be, submissions are currently open to the public until the 10th of December. And this application is now for two more consents for the next 35 years for an average of 150,000 cubic metres per year, taking the total combined sand take from Pākiri to 9 million cubic metres over the next 35 years. Already on top of the estimated maybe 10.5 plus million cubic metres of sand taken over the past 45 years.
Obviously, obviously with that amount of take, it's had a huge, huge environmental impact. I mean, you know, I mean, even those that are not environmentalists will know that that is just unsustainable.
It is unsustainable. It might have been slightly sustainable back in 1940s, earlier than that, when they used to bring the scows up and actually land on the beach and they had a shovel and, you know, shovel it onto the back of the decks. These days, they have a container-sized ship called the William Fraser, and that container-sized ship is an assault to my people who live on the coastline every day. It comes around at night like a thief with its lights lit up like a Christmas tree, if you're lucky, in the dark, and they hear it, they see it, and it's a constant reminder of our struggles of maintaining our haukainga and ahikā in this very precious area that is the last of the Indigenous territories. Sorry, my kids are in the background. Largest Indigenous territories remaining in Māori freehold title in the Auckland region, in which only 0.2% remain. This alone would warrant a much higher consideration of the protection of our values in this area.
And look, so there's the environmental impacts. Obviously, it has impacted on the kaimoana, the manu in the area, the just the type of flora and fauna that is around there, and the cultural impact as well too, particularly on the mana whenua. I mean, that has a ongoing impact for future generations to have what was once their kāpata kai eroded and just pillaged in this way.
Yeah, we're really concerned. I mean, I'm now the fourth generation. My dad possibly was second and third generation to stand up, and I've humbly taken on that responsibility as kaitiaki with a whakapapa responsibility in this space. And also for the aroha to my whānau and wider community, I'm not just talking about our Māori whānau, our tangata whenua, I'm also talking about the residents of our place who also love and enjoy pākeri, and their lifestyle is entwined too with ours. And this goes from mangawhai, tiarai, pākeri to lī. And we have a wonderful community, and we are all aligned in this to try and stop this greed, and to create a balance and to restore very depleted environments. We are concerned about the benthic health. We are very concerned about the tara iti as an imminent, imminently extinct bird, as one of our kaitiaki taonga species, and others that navigate these waterways and rely on the flourishing Māori that is no longer present, that is in decline and well known about amongst advocates for the Hauraki Gulf.
Look, what are they doing with all the sand? It's got to be going somewhere. Mm-hmm. For all these years, over all this period of time, they can't just take sand and just ship it off somewhere else. Or can they? Has it gone overseas as well as further up the coast, you know, further inland to build the big metropolis that is Auckland? Where's this all going?
The biggest argument for the applicants is that our sand is needed for Auckland. And so it has fueled urban growth and infrastructure. And, you know, our sand has also provided amenity for local communities and beach replenishment across the Auckland on both sides of the harbour. It's also the shell grit content is used for wide landscaping products. I mean, we need concrete. That is the voice that is we've heard all the time. But we do need to consider a more strategic approach to where we get our sand from. Pākeri is a closed system, which means it is a Holocene relic sand. It once flowed from the Thames area when the Waikato Awa exited from there. That's how old it is. It is very rare. There's only 1% of the Holocene relic in the total sediments that are on our coastline. And apparently it has a particular grain that's very good for construction. However, the Kaipara is an open system. About 2.5 million cubic metres of sand is produced in the Kaipara Harbour every year. There is consented volumes to be taken from there, but it is not reaching those consented capacities. However, this kind of marine extraction is not something that I would ever wish on the Kaipara Harbour as well. So we do have to look for alternatives, and what are they? So currently, we do bring, the South Island brings in copious amounts of sand, majority for the Queenstown urban growth, from a land-based sand mine in Australia. This could be seen as the lesser of two evils, because you can mitigate the damage that you see. When it is under the water and under the sea, we cannot see the damage that's incurred. It is not visible to our human eye. And so, like a sugar bowl analogy, when you take from the centre of the sugar bowl, the sand just collapses in and fills in from wherever it comes. So we're saying that's coming from our large dune areas, which are diminishing in size. Yeah. Other sources are manufactured sand. So we do have local quarries that utilise aggregate waste as a sand alternative. We're also looking at, we're in the carbon age now, where infrastructure is required to be carbon, work towards reducing carbon, so that means less concrete. And there are other alternatives like geopolymer, other substances that can go into concrete mixes. And these are just avenues that really need to be strengthened and policy directed to these changes.
Thank you very much for that. I was just going to say that the sands coming from Australia is probably coming from, is more than likely coming from lands that were confiscated off the Aboriginal. So, you know, they're pillaging them as Indigenous peoples, aren't they, around the world with the resources. With that in mind, the environment court or the environment, those people that give out those consents along with the Auckland Council, I mean, they've got to, surely they know with the number of submissions that come through to the Environment Court opposing the sand mining, sand dredging, surely they know that this is unsustainable. Surely they know, they can see and feel the hara by the whānau that are in Pākeri and around your area, but they still continue to allocate those consents. How can this possibly happen?
Put it this way, they have specialists within their organisation that evaluate, and they do have a robust system through the consent process for evaluation, but it depends what kind of lens they're evaluating it for through. Mātauranga Māori, our cultural values are only given very small recognition. In fact, what was blatantly obvious through the last hearing process was that their coastal specialists, which we would expect would have an understanding of te tiriti, cultural issues at hand, in particular the history that is in regard to our relationship over this issue, over the decades that we have been standing up against it, it's well known. We did ask for them to have a hearing at Pākeri Hall in the heart of our Hāpiri and on our marae at Umaha, in which they, council and the commissioners did set this up for us, in which we are very grateful for that. But their specialists were not in attendance. So they attended the Auckland, the Kaipara applicants hearing at the Warkworth Town Hall, but they did not show to the Omaha Marae, nor did they show up to the Pākeri Hall. So this sent the message, A, they don't know. It was blatantly obvious in their Section 42 report, there was no issues covered in terms of our cultural impacts. So A, they don't know. B, they don't want to know. C, they possibly don't care. And that was what hit most hardest to our communities.
This isn't just isolated to your area, as you've said earlier on. Look, there's, but just, you know, further out, there's Little Barrier, there's the Kaipara, as you had said, there's Port Waikato, there's Taharo, there's Waipipi, there's Hawke's Bay, there's Whiritoa. And this is an ongoing issue for mana whenua and for the residents, for the whānau that live in and around these rohe. This isn't an isolated case, but it does seem to be one that is almost swept under the carpet unless we actively go out, those of us that don't live in those areas I'm talking about, actively go out to see what's going on. It's happening around the motu.
Yep, it surely is. And we are constantly reminded about this with the State of the Gulf reports for the Te Kapa Moana, for Te Toi o Huatahi and Te Moana Nui o Toi, which we all collectively know as the Hauraki Gulf. Their strongest indicators this year and their latest report was the decline of our tohu, the manu, and the imminent extinction of significant numbers of different breeds of birds that are reliant on the juvenile fisheries that are in the marine area. But not only those birds, our communities are too. The commercial scallop beds have gone into, you know, they've gone into collapse. our local fishermen no longer harvest from these beds outside of Pākeri because they can't maintain the ability to do so. It has an ongoing impact on their economic livelihoods, on our whānau's way of life in terms of kahawai. They don't have the hururo there to support their nurseries. Just our staple food sources are in decline.